Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Nikki, Limo Green, what is a non-fungible token?
Oh, it's like, it's a art that it's a thing. And it's a, you know, have you ever had a dream that,
No, I haven't.
Okay. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
And what's up, everybody? You're talking to Ace right now.
We are in a brand new place. Bear with us.
For real, though, because, yeah. Also, I go by Crypto King, too, just to lessen
also,
the confusion.
Also, I go by, like, Icebreaker sometimes, just to, like...
Yeah, we just want to keep the confusion on the low. Yeah. But, yeah, so you're listening to an episode called about NFTs, right? We're talking about non-fungible tokens. And, you know, first of all, I just want to take a little victory lap for myself. This is a particularly beautiful night tonight. A lot of people that I know. A lot of great people are winning really hard, and it feels real good.
That's so sick.
Including our perhaps mythical and not real sound engineer, Mark.
Hell yeah, Mythical Mark.
Hell yeah, Mythical Mark. Let's go.
Slap it high.
For tax purposes, we don't know if he lives, is if he's real or not.
I don't know how that relates to taxes. But yeah. Yeah, sure.
He begged me to say that for tax purposes.
Okay. Yeah, for legal purposes?
Yes.
For legal and
we
tax
don't know
purposes?
If he's real is all.
We just don't want him to be, his image to be destroyed, his
That's
character
correct.
To be
That's
assassinated
correct.
Based yeah. on the his
for being associated with known scammers
with us. Yeah,
correct. So, Nikki Limo Green, what is a non-fungible token?
Oh, it's like it's a art that it's a thing, and it's a you know. Have you ever had
so
a
cute.
Dream that and then
no, I haven't.
Okay.
So yeah, a non-fungible. Thank you, Nikki, for that. Wow, that was really helpful. So a non-fungible token is something that you cannot exchange for another unit of value at an exact measure, right? So like. Mm-hmm. If I exchange a Bitcoin right now for like US dollars, like everyone knows what that's worth.
Yes.
But like a non-fungible token is like something that you're exchanging for something that that the buyer is aware of the value, but you're not that like there's no like agreed to value of it. Right? Mm-hmm. It's a different thing. So let's say non-fungible token.
Wait, what do you mean there's no agreed on value of it?
Well, no. So like it's not a static or it's not a set. Value.
Okay.
So like if I wanted to exchange a piece of $1 mm-hmm. for like GBP, which is the pound
uh-huh.
in Great Britain, right? There's a set value for that. But if I wanted to send you an NFT mm-hmm. for a particular amount of crypto,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that the next person who buys it from you mm-hmm. as the buyer and me the seller is going to purchase it for the same amount. It could be much different.
Right. So, okay,
so
that's like all collectibles.
Exactly.
So that's the best analogy that I've been able to understand it is that it's similar to collectibles.
It is. It is.
Okay.
That's exactly it.
Okay, yeah. So it doesn't have to be art. A lot of NFTs that I've seen are art.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people think it's just art, but there's all kinds of different things. And they're basically, they're Beanie Babies. They're modern day Beanie Babies.
The popularity of it.
They are Beanie Babies.
The popularity yeah. of it. Is mostly art, right? Like
yeah.
the use case of it, popularity-wise, is art. Absolutely no question. But the actual utility of it is a much different scenario, right? Mm-hmm. So you're talking about something that has, like with most blockchain stuff, it has a unique address to it that is like cryptographically secured and you can see it on the blockchain. You can actually identify it and say like, that is exactly what this NFT is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that like that has its own use case because if I wanted to do like, say, you know, a medical database on the blockchain, I could have medical data as NFTs and like the people who own those NFTs would be the patient, right? And then the doctors who interact with it would be people who are, you know, viewing the NFTs or like even updating the NFTs, but But the NFT itself is unique and on the blockchain encoded cryptographically, which makes it, I mean, more secure, frankly, than medical records are right now, where like there's a certain amount of unfortunate incidents every year because of human error or because of doctor's notes, like where they're writing or like just them getting records mixed up. People actually die, like tens of thousands of people die every year because of like simple mishaps. So like if they were instead not just looking at things like, you know, in a folder, like something sloppy, like with a ballpoint pen, but they were looking at things cryptographically, it would be more secure in a lot of cases than it is right now. And that's the argument for NFTs and like the medical field.
That's really cool. I never thought of that application of it.
Yes.
I thought of it more as the like collectibles. And then I had a bunch of questions about that.
Please.
Well, like one, what is copyright law like with this? Because, you know, if you sell an NFT for $100,000 and then I take a screenshot of your NFT and make that into an NFT.
Please don't do that. Thank you.
What's the copyright like on that? Like, how do they?
It's a great question. It's one of the most common questions. So here's the thing, right? If I took a picture, let's say I took a picture of your left hand. Okay. And I said, this is Nikki Lima's left hand on the blockchain. Okay. That means that like in a sense, because I'm the first person to upload this on the blockchain and I'm the person who secures the rights for it.
Yeah.
Say I use Mintable or OpenSea or any of those places, but I'm like, hey, this picture is mine uniquely on the blockchain. Does that mean I own your left hand on the blockchain?
No.
Or does that mean I own your left hand?
No, that's no. Different.
In this instance, and with this picture, and something that I assume that you agreed upon or whatever.
Yeah.
This picture of this, of your left hand, like say it's like flipping off whatever it's doing, a gesture. I own that instance of it, but I don't own it in real life. I own the blockchain.
But that's not really the question I was asking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because, so let's like, okay, so let's say the Mona Lisa, for example, is a portrait of the Mona Lisa. Obviously, the painter doesn't own Mona Lisa herself, but he painted that picture, and that picture is, that painting is now worth a lot of money.
Yes.
Okay, it's priceless. But I'm saying on, because it's digital, an NFT, like obviously, I can't replicate the Mona Lisa because you can see the paint strokes, like you, every little detail of it, it's physical. It can't, like, if I took a picture of the Mona Lisa and tried to sell it, it wouldn't be the same thing as a painting stroke there. But, and then there's a copyright around that. Like, if I don't even know if you can put the Mona Lisa's picture on, like, that painting of it on different things without getting some sort of licensing or something. So there's licensing. But I'm saying, what if you have like a monkey drawing NFT, and then I take a screenshot of it, and then I sell that as an NFT.
Please don't do that.
No, I won't. I'm asking.
I'm actually kidding. Okay, so no. Here's the point, right? Like the idea of the vulnerability of NFTs is like I can just control save as or whatever.
Yeah.
But not really, because like, you know, and this is the most common used nomenclature for this, but I'll use it again because it is really notifiable or like or beneficial to people who know. Everyone knows the Mona Lisa is in the Louvre in Paris, France, right? Nobody questions that. Everyone knows where it is. So because we know where it is, we know why that one is the original one.
Right.
Everyone knows that. So with an NFT, you have a unique blockchain signature attached to everything that you mint. So let's say that the Louvre of Paris decides to say, hey, look, we have the OG Mona Lisa. We're also going to issue the first ever Mona Lisa NFT, and we're going to do a one of one. I guarantee you it would go for millions and millions and millions of dollars because it is the first one issued by the quote unquote artist, although it's not the artist, but it's the holder. It's the originator or the person who is holding the original artworks, right? And because they're saying, hey, we're broadcasting that this is the legitimate one, that one would have a unique amount of value compared to like anything else that you could ever name. So it's because the artist can come out and say, this is my original works and this is my original works on the blockchain. That's what gives it the unique value that I think a lot of people miss with NFTs, where they think I can just control save this, or I can just save this as a JPEG and like now I own the NFT.
No, I don't think that you own it. My question was about copyright. Yeah. My question was, what's stopping someone from taking your original NFT and creating a bunch of them, and they each have the individual addresses. So yeah, even if you say it's not the original, right? But it looks the same and it has its own unique address. Whereas like copies of the Mona Lisa don't look the same because they're, you know, it's a print, you know? So yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't have the exact Mona Lisa.
It's a great question. So nowadays, right? Artists have Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
They have various social media, you know, outlets.
Yeah.
And they can say like where their works are.
Okay, but I understand the value part.
No, it's not really about the value. It's also about what you're saying, like the fact that the community thinks something.
No, but can they sue? I'm asking about copyright.
Yes.
Because that would drive me nuts.
It's still early, right? It's very early. This is like the Wild West in a lot of ways. But you don't own the works like in real life in perpetuity. You own it on the blockchain. That's the unique use case of it, right? So like if I take a picture of something and I have that on my phone, and then somebody puts that on the blockchain, then and they own the copyright of it because I didn't put that on the blockchain. It's a different thing because they are the ones who own it on the blockchain. I own it in real life.
Mm.
So it's a weird thing that's going on right now.
I see.
It still has to be sussed out. But the idea of it is super unique and cool insofar as, and I know it sounds like mired up in like a lot of technicality stuff, but the coolest thing about it is that the original artist not only can issue the work, right? But they can actually get paid in perpetuity for it because smart contracts are so unique.
Yeah.
You can just say like in this smart contract, when you're generating the works, right? Mm. Every time it gets sold to another, you know, client or whatever the fuck, 20% of it goes to the artist.
Wow.
And that happens every time that you sell it. So like what could be more advantageous to an artist than this?
Yeah.
What could be more advantageous to a charity than this? Like all the things, think about what we do every year, we go to the kitten ball.
Yeah.
Kitten rescue ball. We love the kitten rescue ball. The fur ball. We love it. We love to help the kitties out.
Mm-hmm.
But what if every time, because we bought a lot of art from them.
Yeah.
What if every time we bought the art and then somebody buys it from us, the original artist got paid for it? I mean, you're talking about artists being able to live off of their works at a level that didn't exist.
Yeah, getting residuals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're baked into the smart contract. So it's decentralized.
Because that's how acting, like that's how the entertainment industry works. Like where, you know, I did one line on How I Met Your Mother back in 2011 and I still get paid for it because every time they sell that show and like all the episodes in that show, I get a cut of what I made originally on that show.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But that's because they spent years arguing, like unions mostly, for why they deserve that. And then they had to beat the big players in town. Blockchain cuts through all that. Hey, I'm the original artist. Hey, I decided that this works is going to give me 5% in perpetuity forever. And if it's a loser, if nobody's going to buy it, then who cares? I'll never get the money.
Exactly.
But if it's a winner and I'm right and my work rocks, why wouldn't I get paid in perpetuity forever? Because other people are getting paid every time it gets sold.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of this shit. I wish a lot of people knew that because it really is changing the game as far as like the distribution of art throughout the world. And the same problems exist, right? So like whenever you mention art, something should be mentioned, right? Where it is a tax shelter for a lot of people. The art world that we all are aware of, it really is mired in a lot of people who they say that you spend like $8 million on a painting.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You know, you just put that into an asset. You don't have to pay taxes on it. Mm-hmm. It's a different thing.
I see.
So a lot of things go on in behind the scenes of this stuff because you just purchased something and it's like considered an asset and all shit. But so that's applicable, in my opinion, to the blockchain. That's why I think NFTs took off the way that they did. But I also think that what's unique about NFTs is the way that it empowers artists to create. We in Crypto Corner, which is my little place for my people.
Your live stream on Patreon, patreon.com/sticky.
Yes.
STIKKI.
By the way, not to pat myself on the back. Crypto Corner just had its first millionaire tonight.
That's awesome.
Very awesome.
How much did she start with?
I didn't say if it's he or she. Thank you for that.
I just picked a pronoun.
Could be anybody. But no, you know, it was a nominal amount. It was a lot more than I think a lot of people would normally just go in and buy.
Mm-hmm.
But they did so well.
Yeah.
Buying Terra fucking Luna.
Yeah.
Which just hit $78 tonight. That, yeah, I mean, you know, it was just a wild little run there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, amazing. But
congrats
to you. Whoever seriously, you are. You know who you are. And yeah, seriously, congrats. So proud of you. And thank you for sharing that with me, by the way. But yeah, so when you're in this space and you look at crypto and you think about, you know, the way that people, like if I buy a piece of art right now in the real world, the artist usually just gets paid like when I buy that piece of art.
Yeah.
But if I resell it, that doesn't exist.
Right.
Like they don't get a piece of that. Like in fact, eBay is notorious for like fucking over like even game developers, right? Because like there's a lot of game developers who get paid the one time that you buy the game.
Yeah.
But then like when GameStop came out and like all these places came out where you could buy used games, all the developers were getting wrecked on that stuff because you're paying just the retailer and you buy the work. So like the original artists are not making money off of that, even though it has like a huge life cycle beyond the first sale.
Right.
Which a lot of people aren't aware of.
Yeah, I guess I'm torn with it because on the one hand, like as an actor, I get residuals, so that makes sense. But then on the other hand, like when I'm trying to compare it to Beanie Babies or Pokemon cards or Air Jordans, you know, it's not like Nike gets paid every time someone resells it. I mean, that's kind of like the investment that you're making. You're taking a risk that, you know, this thing could never be worth anything ever again.
Yes.
And so you're the one taking the risk by buying a collectible item that may just be a fad, that may just be a trend. So
here's the beauty. Yeah, I don't know. Here's the beauty of it. Sometimes, like, you know, in Nike's case, you sell a shoe design to Nike and then you write it off and then Nike owns the rights to it and all that kind of shit because you're the designer and that's like the work, right? That's like what you're paid for. But what's unique in this situation is that you are the artist, you're issuing it, and you get paid in perpetuity for it because you designed that into the smart contract when you issued it. And it gives you more power in the long run. It gives you more leeway to chill based on your work. So if you did a good job and everyone wants to buy your shit, it gives you more leeway. There's also a lot more to this too. I'm really kind of zoomed in on one thing right now.
Yeah.
But let's talk really quickly too about the metaverse.
Okay.
So like the metaverse is like, think about Ready Player One, which you might not know about. I don't think you do. But there's a book / movie that was directed by Steven Spielberg, which is about like, you know, sitting in a mundane space with a VR helmet on, and you're able to interact with a digital environment that is not part of like the world that you're actually in. You're actually like jacking into this other world.
So you're talking about this Facebook thing.
Yeah, it's metaverse.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. Because they just rebranded to Meta, right?
Uh-huh.
And so Facebook is trying to say like, hey, like we're trying to do this metaverse thing where you can sit there with your like Oculus helmet on or Oculus device on, and you can interact with family members like through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're there in the room. It's like it's Christmas Day, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone's in the same room, but everyone's wearing different devices. They're all
and you could look however you want to look.
Wearing whatever you want.
I could be Eminem.
You could wear whatever merch you want. You could wear Eminem. Slim Shady LP2
why
merch.
Would I just wear his merch if I could just be him?
You shouldn't. Well, you'd have to own the unique NFT that lets you be him uniquely on the blockchain. You
need to buy skins. Oh my God, you could buy skins of other people.
You can't.
Oh my God, this is how deepfake evolves.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
Get ready, though.
That's so scary.
Get ready.
Ready Player One.
I don't know what that means. But I can tell you about NFTs. So yeah, what's unique about this situation, right, is like, okay, there's a great example, and it's called Terra Whales, which I bought into.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my Crypto Corner community, I gotta say, a little palling back. We were buying this thing for 3 Luna each. It's now worth at a minimum, you could sell them for 20 Luna.
Wow.
No question, right? So that's a beautiful little multiplier.
Yeah.
But what's really cool about it is the guy behind it, his name is Bobby. He goes by Bobby Carrots. I don't know if that's a real name or not. I've interacted with him a couple times. But he was using a private wallet to accept our Luna for the sale. And then he promised to send us a whale later. We didn't even know if it was going to be real. So that's the beauty of Crypto Corner is like everyone's done well enough. Especially like by that point, this is like, I mean, like fucking August, September, where everyone's like, all right, I don't know. I've done well enough. Fuck it. We'll see what happens.
This is like if you were making a portfolio, this would be like your high risk category. And it's just a small percentage of your move. Yeah.
If it's 5% or under, for me, that's a play money move. And yeah, it was a play money move using staking rewards. So like, yeah, we'll see what happens. But it ended up working great. It ended up being a 1,000 supply issued NFT, which is unique on the Terra Luna blockchain, which is 3D whales, which you can actually interact with in an AR environment.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's super cool. Nikki's seen it.
I get to put it in our new house.
She does. She gets to put it wherever she wants. We're
AR,
in our new house.
AR-wise.
But what's uniquely cool about that, right? So other than what I talked about, like where you can use, like say the AR feature on your phone and you can actually like project this whale and you can actually make it as big as you want or as small as you want. I could put it on this desk or I could make it bigger than this whole desk.
Mm-hmm.
But if I use my phone, I could see where it is uniquely in the room, which is super interesting. But also for every person who holds one of these whales, they also get a unique NFT in like these boots that are coming out for the metaverse. So like you get, say there's another 1,000 NFTs coming out, but for every person who holds a whale, they get what's called an airdrop of a NFT boot, which you can also use in the metaverse. And so like using the AR feature on your phone, you can actually see the boots on your feet.
That's crazy. So now we've moved into, this is like, so when you're playing, let's say Fortnite or like some game where you can buy skins and like your avatar gets it. But now you actually get to be wearing it in the metaverse
on the blockchain using the blockchain. But here's what's different, right? So what Fortnite and all these guys are doing, which is great for everybody, by the way, they made it very popular to own unique items in a game.
Yeah.
But what they're not doing, which is going to be opened up by the metaverse. And when I say the metaverse, I'm talking about like, you know, using the blockchain, you could potentially transmit items across like chains. So like, and then all my corners know what I'm talking about right now. So like you take Terra and you can actually go cross chain with Solana, which is a very popular blockchain as well. Terra should be more popular than Solana. It's actually about to happen. You'll see. But so like, it's called cross-chain swaps, right? So then you also have like Ethereum, right? So you can actually bridge between Solana, Terra, Ethereum, Harmony One, like a bunch of different blockchains seamlessly, Cosmos, without like a lot of friction. So there's not a lot of barricades between you and doing those swaps. So now imagine that you're playing Mario or you're playing Sonic. Or you're playing like a PlayStation game and there's a feature that allows you to cross-pollinate between blockchains the items that you own uniquely on these games. So like let's say I'm playing a crypto game.
Yeah.
And in that game I uniquely get, you know, they use these different kinds of transactions, but it's more commonly what's called a UTXO, right? So like I get this in the game, I earned this item and it's now going uniquely to my Ethereum wallet, say. Well, now I can take it from the game. Say I'm in a game with you and we call it cats versus dogs. Okay.
Cats.
Well, now, thank you, Sam. Now I can take it from cats versus dogs to plants versus humans or whatever.
Oh.
Because I uniquely own that item.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's not that the game owns the item anymore.
Yeah.
When I got the item in the game, it goes to me. It's almost like you're playing Mario and you get a fucking magic mushroom. And remember in Mario 3 where you can keep the magic mushroom and you can decide to use it before the level or not?
Yeah.
What if you could transmit that to another blockchain and use it in a different game?
That's so weird.
It's unique ownership of items that hasn't existed in any plane that has ever
Will the game even recognize the item? Like, will it be like...
Well, that's the idea, is that they're all developing...
some cross... They all have to work together.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're all developing, like, using the same tools, which isn't that crazy, because if you think about developing on Ethereum, say, like, you're using this tool called Solidity, which is like their, you know, if you build a game, like, you use Unreal Engine, say.
Mm.
Well, there's nothing keeping, like, somebody who is building Elder Scrolls on Unreal Engine from, like, somebody who's building Grand Theft Auto on Unreal Engine from allowing those two items to cross-pollinate.
This reminds me of Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah,
she takes like a coin from a different
game,
and she tries to, and she uses it for her game.
That's a better analogy than I can come up with. So yeah, that's perfect. So, but that's the idea behind it, right? Is that your wallet uniquely owns the item, and the game itself is just there to support that you own the item and it's yours, and it's yours to sell to or whatever you want to do. So it's pretty interesting how a lot of this stuff works, and also, in my opinion, one of the coolest things about NFTs is the fact that they can come in stages. So like you don't just have to have an NFT that's like the first issued NFT, right? You could have an NFT that you actually evolve, which we will get to when we come back from the break.
Buy whatever you tell you to buy.
And sell whatever you tell you to sell, but don't sell crypto, baby. It's time to hold.
You can sell the scam coins.
Yeah, please. Please do. Okay, bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So, huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show. Welcome back to Shit They Do Not Tell You About podcast. And my name is Steve Green.
And my name is Breaker 123 Icebreaker.
Cool. And they call me the Crypto King. And one reason why they call me the Crypto King is because I'm pretty aware of what's going on in the crypto space. So, what's going on with multi-stage NFTs, right? Like, one of the coolest things, in my opinion, about NFTs is think about, like, being a kid again, right?
Okay.
Because around our age range, I would say I was probably a little old for it, but, you know, I had younger brothers. But Pokemon cards got big.
So, yeah, I didn't get into Pokemon cards, but I liked the N64 Pokemon Snap game, and that's how I learned all the Pokemons.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Same with Pokemon Go.
What was the number on 150 Pokemon?
I didn't memorize.
Well, then you're
those.
Then you're actually an idiot.
I just like to play the game. I like to take pictures of the Pokemon, and I get rewarded and based off of how good a picture I took.
Nobody can relate to you. It's embarrassing.
Yes, they can.
I think they can more than what I'm saying. Yeah, you're yeah. Fine. But
yeah, well, think about it now. I take pictures of Pokemons and I make them NFTs. See.
Hey, suck a dick. Sick. Nice. Suck thanks. You can't actually.
Friggin' dick.
No, you can't do that because.
Why?
Well, because
of copyright?
You could say that you're doing that, but everyone knows that Niantic owns Pokemon and that the Pokemon Company owns Pokemon and that Nintendo owns Pokemon.
But they
Pokemon.
Make me feel like a real photographer in that game.
I know, but you guess what? Do you own those pictures? Exactly. Welcome to NFT land. Hmm. Welcome to actual NFT land. You don't own those pictures, you fuck.
I could if I made them into NFTs.
No, because everyone knows you don't own the NFT, you fucking rando. You're just a rando asshole.
What do you mean? Saying, if I make the NFT of my Pokemon Snap picture.
It's not yours. You're using somebody else's work.
That's what I was asking in the very beginning.
I know.
If you're using someone else's work as a copyright, is it infringement?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
How do they control that?
They control it by issuing it on the blockchain themselves. They're saying, we give you permission to use this on the blockchain. You own this on the blockchain. And if you purchase this from us, that's the game.
Like, am I really going to get in trouble if I do it?
What are you talking about?
Because it's like, is there a law? Yes,
if you get sued, what are you talking about? Is there a law?
That's what I was asking in the beginning. You screwed all around it.
Absolutely.
That could have been a really simple answer
NFT
in the beginning.
Issuance marketplaces have algorithms that try to suss out like when somebody's just uploading something that somebody else owns.
Okay, good. That's all I wanted to know before. So the artist didn't get ripped off. Like, what if I Andy Warhol something together? Like, Andy Warhol doesn't own Campbell's Soup, but he made lots of money off that one.
Yeah, but Andy Warhol owned the application of the idea, right? So Andy Warhol took that idea and did something different.
So I take four of my Pokemon Snap pictures.
See, that's really unique and different.
Thank you. Nice,
thank you. I don't fucking know. I'm not a lawyer. Anyway, point being, so like everyone loves Pokemans. Everyone.
Yes.
You can own like the first stage of a Pokemans. But when you do that, right? You own it like in a terrestrial sense, like you own the card, but you don't own it insofar as like, say, like, you know, you do it in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't own a Pikachu. You don't own a Bulbasaur.
Exactly right.
You don't like because you could have a Bulbasaur too.
Yeah. But.
But I can own the card that has Bulbasaur on it. Exactly, there's only a certain amount that were printed.
Yeah. And it's set. It's like a set amount. Right.
It's like any collectible.
Exactly. But one of the coolest things about NFTs is like, so for example, there's one, I mean, there's a bunch, right? So there's like these Bored Ape Yacht Clubs, which is one of the most, the biggest movers as far as like crypto NFTs go. So it's like pictures of like these apes who like wear like, I don't know, like fucking yacht gear. But I remember me and Kenny, my little brother, he's a big crypto head too. I got him into crypto. We were looking at these things like when they were worth like $3,000 over the summer. They're now worth like $175,000 to $250,000 as a floor.
Wow.
Like all of them.
Why?
Because, well, there's a lot of use cases, right? So like even today, a major company announced that they're using Bored Ape Yacht Club. It was like Adidas. So they're going to issue unique NFTs to the Bored Ape holders. And it's really just about getting their name out there more in the crypto sphere. So, like, I understand the marketing, but, like, you know, it just makes it more profitable for you to have held this the whole time.
I see.
So, yeah, with the apes, they also have this thing called a serum where you could, like, mutate your ape. So, like, you don't just have your original NFT, but you could actually mutate your NFT into a different NFT. And if you do that, guess what? The original NFT gets burned.
Oh.
It's no longer... There.
You killed your original. You
killed your original NFT to create your new NFT, which is like your unique mutated Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT. Okay. So NFTs exist in stages now. You can actually choose to send your NFT to a burn address and then you convert it into this other NFT. And it becomes even more rare potentially because maybe not a lot of people have the stones to do that. Mm. Or like, you know, me and Kenny, we got into this one called Lavanna Dragons, which is a Terra-based NFT. And, you know, if you're, you know, you might be watching this much later right now than 2021. But I was buying these in 2021 because I have a strategy that I want to deploy on this market, which is basically this. I know that that Ethereum NFTs like went absolutely apeshit, you know. But they did like within the past like half year, especially like 8 months, they went nuts, right?
8 months.
Nice, I like that even better. But I think that the more popular other blockchains become, the NFTs that are issued on those blockchains will become more popular later on.
I see.
Especially the first issued NFTs. And so I've been scooping those. Mm-hmm. The first NFT that existed on Terra Luna is called Space Loot. Mm-hmm. I own one of the top 500 most rare ones of those out of 8,000 something.
Okay.
Strategically. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, okay, it's cheap now. I'm going to scoop now. I own like one of almost every single one that's on there. There's one called Galactic Punks.
Yeah. I've heard of that.
Yeah. So like on Ethereum, they had punks. Mm-hmm. Like digital punks, right? And those were like the most, those were the first issued NFT on Ethereum, on the Ethereum blockchain, okay? And so those have a lot of value right now because, you know, and I know that it looks like low effort and everyone's like, it's just pixelated shit, but it's really just about, it was the first mover in the space. It doesn't matter that like, you know, it looks like shit to you or whatever. It's just about how it was there first. And so, you know, Galactic Punks is one of the first on the Terra Luna blockchain, but the first was Space Loot. So I bought Space Loot and I made sure to buy like an extra rare one because I knew that that was the first on Luna. And even most lunatics, which is like the moniker for Luna holders.
They have like fan names.
Yeah. But even even those guys don't even know that Space Loot was the first. Everyone thinks it was Galactic Punks because it's more popular because of the Ethereum name and because Visa recently came out and bought a punk. And so everyone, and they bought it for like millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And so everyone hears that and they know punks is big. And so they go, oh shit, I can buy punks on the Terra blockchain for cheaper. And that's the whole game, right? So for me, it's less unique because you're literally just copying somebody else's work. And then you're also changing the variables. So like you can, so like one of the biggest things about NFTs, right, is the rare tables. Mm-hmm. So like if I buy a Nikki Limo NFT and she's fucking beautiful, by the way, she's fucking beautiful.
I want one.
But if my Nikki Limo NFT came with blonde hair,
not as beautiful then.
Not as beautiful, but more rare. Because the Nikki Limo NFT that everyone's used to
has, I don't like this analogy anymore.
Right? Is like brunette, but kind of black hair, but like she thinks it's brunette. So it's
brown in the sun.
So there you go. But my blonde one is the rare one because there's no other blonde ones that exist on this blockchain.
I'll go blonde. I get it.
So please go blonde.
I actually would love to go platinum blonde. It would be so much maintenance.
It would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a pain.
But I think that'd be so sick.
It would be sick. Especially for poker playing, frankly.
Yeah.
But point being is that it's unique to this NFT that a variance exists. And that's the thing, right? So like say you had green eyes and blonde hair. Say you're the perfect woman, a trash piece of shit woman.
Jeez.
Say you looked attractive and not like garbage.
So I'm single now, if anyone is looking.
She's not.
Single. She's like single very on the market.
She's single on the blockchain. there's a difference.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can get the single Nikki NFT. Very rare. Very cool. She's nice. Living a great life.
I like that. She's smiling.
Yeah.
That's really funny. But yeah, no. So like that's the difference, right? It's like you issued something that's unique to this works and it's rare. And so rare tables are big, right? So like even if something has a different background, if like the character is like holding a fucking leaf and like in every other one, they're not. It really does affect the price in a weird way.
I get that.
Where investors are going, well, this maybe is rare because it says it's rare that like there's less of a percentage of these that have this variable. But also like, will anyone buy this for me? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So there's a risk, right?
Yeah.
So that's what makes like NFTs like kind of a risk. But also, in my opinion, my strategy is to scoop these things now so that I can sell them during the next bull run, where as the market cap of all cryptos goes up, which I've been pointing out since the start of Crypto Corner. Frankly, since you've known me, I've pointed this out, especially about crypto, how the market caps exponentially rise as the coin gets adopted by more people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what happens during the bear market, because the stuff actually gets used even more during the bear market than people even realize. And so the market cap actually slides up even higher than people think. So by the time that the next bull market begins, you actually are dealing with a much higher, like much more popular coin than you even knew as far as the daily usage of it goes. Mm-hmm. So I'm making that bet right now. And a lot of my corners are doing that too. We're betting on holding these NFTs, except for one of them named Riddy. He's a lost cause. It's fine. Too many NFTs, more NFTs than crypto. Not going to make it, but it's fine. We love Riddy. You know, Riddy will make it the next bull run maybe at
the end. If he's passionate about it, okay.
I really want to emphasize this, right? So there's the metaverse coming out, right?
Yes.
There's an Ethereum project called Sand, okay? Sand has a bunch of partnerships, okay? Like Snoop Dogg and like a bunch of, like Atari and a bunch of different big companies, right?
Okay.
But the biggest thing about Sand, which I was telling my little brother Kenny about like even months ago when he first put me on Sand, because he's like the biggest kid I know into NFT blockchain stuff. Mm-hmm. So he's always like checking all that stuff out before I even sniff it, because I'm not really that into it. But I admire it in a different sense. He was pointing out to me that if you hold Sand, that is basically the money that you hold in this game. But when he showed me that the game also has a land distribution, which is super limited, which is even more limited than the Sand token, than the currency of the NFT metaverse. Mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit, that's what the value is. It's in the land. In the land, me and Kenny watched go from like, God, a couple hundred bucks each to like, it's now worth like $12,000 each.
Just like in real life land.
But like, and just like in real life land, if you own a plot of land next to say Snoop Dogg or next to say Atari, in the game, it's considered more valuable because more people want to develop in more popularized areas.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I know that's it's a mind blow. It's really a mind job for a lot of people. But you have to think about it like this. So all the DeFi elements that exist in our world right now, like decentralized finance, right? You can stake your tokens on certain places, like say Terra Luna. You can stake your shit in Anchor Protocol. You get 19.5% fixed in stable coins, which is incredible. It's better than any savings account that exists. Mm-hmm. Using DeFi on, say, Ethereum, and using DeFi inside of, the borders of, say, something like land, like Sand, and then land, where you can only develop on land if you hold it. You're talking about a whole different environment now,
yeah,
of development and of creativity, where, you know, you have to have the land to develop. So it's like you have to have an easel and you have to have paint and you have to have a fucking canvas.
It's like SimCity that you actually paid money for each thing, though.
Damn right. But it's also like there's a bunch of people who are there who want to see what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you just did it in a vacuum and you just bought SimCity and you're sitting in your basement and nobody's ever going to see it. It's actually like everybody's waiting to see what you're going to do because you actually bought a piece of land next to like some other big developer.
Yeah, it's just crazy because like in real life, you buy land because everybody needs shelter. Like you all, yes. So then you buy the land to build your house on and then you need shelter. But now it's like everyone's got shelter. So they're buying fake land to put fake shelter on. It's so weird.
I think that's a decent analogy, but you have to think about it like this.
Yeah.
We just moved to Vegas.
Yeah.
Why do we move to Vegas? Not to have shelter from the rain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We moved for our own personal reasons.
More comfort, yeah.
Exactly. But it's the same idea in the blockchain where people are actually just buying this land because they want to develop something. They have their own idea. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like you buying this house.
Yeah.
And like you get to decorate take whatever it. You want with the rooms and you can decorate it however you want. And that makes it unique to you and like you like even more valuable than it would be somewhere else.
I love games like that, by the way.
I know that. But I'm just saying like I just think that on the blockchain, especially with the crowdedness of the Ethereum blockchain, mm. to buy land. And even like there's a place called Terra World where you can, it's the same idea, but you get a piece of land and then you can actually like run your business through it, like a digital business through it.
Yeah. And then what's next is you're going to have like people get jobs there, their employees there. And it's just like Second Life.
Damn right. It's the next iteration of this stuff, except it's actually more applicable because they have
Snoop Dogg living next to them.
Well, no, they have the undercurrent of a viable currency, a viable decentralized currency. So you can't get in the way of the vision as easily. Because if like I did this in, there was a game called Microsoft Bob, like in like the 1990s, you could make your own house and all this shit, but it has no, it doesn't value apply to anything. Yeah, it has no value to anything other than your own computer. Like Microsoft Bob, your space in Microsoft Bob. But what if in the world, everyone could see your space and they could all say, I want to visit this place even more. What makes it different than Disneyland? Honestly, like I actually think about it for a second. I know that you're thinking like, well, I want to experience Disneyland. It's like so much more
visceral.
For me. But think about it like if Marvel was to say, hey, we're going to issue a space on Terraland. Do you think that people would rather visit Steve Green's house or Marvel's house on Terraland? And that's the idea behind it, right? It's the same idea. You're issuing something that's unique to this environment and that makes people go, I want to go there. And can you sell tickets, quote unquote, or can you make people want to visit there? That gives it even more value.
So it's like visiting people's Animal Crossing islands.
It is, except that everyone can see everyone's islands at the same time. You don't have to like wait to visit them. You can you can see it all at the same time, and then you can value them by with your eyes and ears and like whatever you are looking at. Super unique, super cool. There's so much more to this too. I mean, when you think about the metaverse too, right? So, you know, the way that things are right now in your life, like think about Bill Gates's house.
Okay.
When Bill Gates goes into a room in his house, the walls change color. Did you know this?
No.
Yeah, the walls change color.
What?
Yeah. The and it depends because he has what's called a PAL card inside, like in his pocket, say. But it uniquely changes the room to fit his own preferences and like music and all, everything else. Because they have like big LCD screens and all this stuff. So like what if you could have that kind of a personal touch, but on the blockchain and like in your own personal space, like on the metaverse. And that's the idea to it. And there's almost an infinite amount of cross-chain, you know, like transactions happening, but you don't even know that they're transactions. You're just like, you know, bringing this thing into your space because you like it and it's from a different game or from a different world or from a different blockchain than, you know, even somebody visiting even knows. So I hate to make it more complicated than or sounding than it is, but no, I'm really excited about
this. I'm only trying to compare it to other things that I know
I think you're super helping, actually.
But then I started thinking about Bill Gates. So when he walks past his walls and it changes colors, why does he care about dimming the sun then?
What are you talking about?
He wants to dim the sun.
We should dim the sun too. You weren't here unpacking at like 2:30 in the afternoon while the sun was fucking blaring through the window. Okay, I want to dim the sun.
You could
too.
Turn the heat down. I like the level of brightness.
If you were a billionaire,
I like the level of brightness.
Let me ask you this.
What?
If every single room that you walked into, you could hit a dimmer and you could slide it down and you actually affect the light of that room. And say the room is as big as a fucking soccer stadium. Wouldn't you try to do that to the sun as well?
No.
You're goddamn right you would.
Selfish.
What are you talking about?
Because more than one people uses the sun.
Then what do you even dream about? Let me ask you this. Why become a billionaire if you can't even try to dim the sun?
True. That's a fair point.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, you're
God bless
Bill Gates. I'm sorry, you're right. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Fuck everyone else's sun preferences.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
they didn't earn $1 billion.
You guys want to know why the sun's dim today? Because I fucking said so.
Jesus.
That's why. You know why? Because I forgot my sunglasses. I don't know where they are. Hey, somebody want to walk a pair of sunglasses over to me. Maybe I'll brighten the sun up. Until then, it's dim, bitches. Deal with it.
Damn. That's what I'm saying. You can install a clapper.
Hey, that's dope.
That's it, my
10%
goal.
10% of the time, every clap, 10% down. That's sick.
It just, and then goes off.
And then goes off.
He's sick of it today.
And then he's like, oh, wait, how much is it? Is it? He's like, is it 20 seconds before everyone freezes to death? He's like, all right, fuck it. Sorry. It's fantastic. So anyways, this was the NFT episode. If anybody has questions about this stuff, you can head on over to patreon.com/sticky. And I have a show.
Sorry, I was just thinking about how the government's subsidizing solar paneling. And I'm like, and then they're going to dim the sun. And then we're not going to have electricity. That's where they fuck us.
That's where they fuck you.
But don't get solar panels.
Wait, get solar panels.
No, because then they're going to dim the sun and fuck you up.
Yeah, but get them so that you have reserve energy.
Not if they dim the sun.
Oh, true. All right, don't get solar panels. I heard it's expensive anyway.
Yeah. Figure out that Tesla, Nikola Tesla coil thing.
Yeah, use the Nikola Tesla coil thing.
Yeah, yeah. Get that going.
And if you use the code STICKY, you get 30% off the Nikola Tesla coil thing.
Thanks for sponsoring us, Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, throughout the year of 2022. So yeah, please check that out. Thank you, Nikola Tesla and the family, by the way.
Nikola Tesla. So, all right, we're done with this show now. So done. Thank you for listening. And
check out Crypto Corner.
I tried to ask questions that I'm curious about with NFTs because, you know, I feel like a lot of people are totally in the dark.
What's your most valuable possession in all honesty?
My cat.
Okay, but like your a possession, not like a living being.
I mean, I don't know, my car, I guess. Or like my house.
What's like something that's like art or like possessions or like valuables or like jewelry or like anything?
You want me to say my M&M brick?
I don't. I don't want you to say anything. I want you to actually tell me what is your most prized possession.
But I already said my house and car. You said that's not good enough. Okay, so
listen, okay, so okay, let's talk about house. Let's talk about your house.
Yeah.
So like, you know, there's a problem right now with land management. I've talked about this on Crypto Corner before or on this show before actually. There's a crypto called LTO that's trying to solve the issue, which is land management and like property rights. Because in the United Nations, they actually have a huge clusterfuck of who owns what. Because as you know, new governments come in and usurp other governments, the land rights of like the people gets distributed all over the fucking place. And so there's like not a distributed ledger. It's actually just a huge mess.
Mm-hmm.
So LTO Network is trying to create a distributed ledger that provides like an actual an account. Mm-hmm. Of who owns what and where on the blockchain. And it's you can't disrupt it because it's on the blockchain. You can't fuck with it because it's on the blockchain. And so like it's actually going to be a good source of a record. So like your love of say property is transmutable to the blockchain for that reason. And it gives the person who has that piece of property an actual stake to it that they didn't have before. Because say somebody just comes and takes their deed from them or whatever, like quickly, because they don't have like a traditional, you know, first world property.
Oh,
like it just changes the game.
So, I see.
Yeah, it's a totally different landscape, and it's using NFTs.
Landscape.
Thank you. And it's using NFTs to confirm it on the blockchain. So it's beautiful. Huh. So one of the current coins that I'm getting into.
Yeah.
It's called Lavana Dragons. I spoke about this a little bit earlier, but I didn't really get into it.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about these dragons.
You have.
I don't know exactly how they work at all, but I know that you got a rare one.
I got a legendary one.
Tight.
Not just a rare one. Rare is actually cheaper, but it's fine. So what makes this different, right? So Lavana is another protocol on Terra, and Lavana stands for leverage anything, right? L-E-V-A-N-A, Lev, and anything.
I see.
Right? And, or any asset, really. And sorry. L-E-V-A-N-A, like.
I got it.
Any asset.
Right? Yes.
So, but what they did was they wanted to do a a fundraiser for the protocol so that they can have a nice little amount in the treasury for people to borrow from or like use in DeFi, right? And so it's not easy to do that in crypto. People don't just want to donate for anything. So what they did was a very unique use case, which I thought was really cool. They had this, they called it a meteor shower. So you could donate to the protocol through the meteor shower, and then you get a meteor every hour for like 4 days.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I did this, and like a bunch of corners did it with me, and Kenny, my brother, did it with me. And the point of it was every time that you bought a meteor, say it was like, you know, you put in like $100. Mm-hmm. Well, the meteor comes in stages. It comes in common, rare, ancient, and legendary. So legendary is the most rare. Common is the least rare.
Okay.
If you bought, say, like, if you were like one of the top donors in that hour, you get one of the most legendary meteors.
I see.
Yes.
But you don't know however much everyone else is donating.
Exactly.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
That's really interesting.
And it makes it really like beneficial to paying attention to
yeah.
it. Yeah. And to trying to beat out other people.
Yeah.
But because the meteors, they have them on screen through an API or like, so you can see which ones mm-hmm. are out there. You can see which one's glowing, and that's the one that you're currently up for. But the whole thing gets blown up at the end of it, at the end of every hour, because all the whales come in and try to just fucking destroy everybody.
I see.
The most rare one.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll spend like, and I spent the stupid, I have to say, I spent like a stupid fucking amount for sure. Just during the meteor shower. Mm-hmm. I spent an even stupider amount later. Mm-hmm. But
is it still in your 5% range though?
Yeah. Okay. Way under. But it's still mm-hmm. like when it comes to NFTs, mm-hmm. to spend like 10 grand on NFTs, like it's like pretty nuts.
It's very risky.
And I did that.
Okay.
So, but I did that with the knowledge that, so with the meteors, right?
Yeah.
I already had like a bunch of ones that I thought I was going to get dragons for anyway, because I had overbid them. And let me just make this really quick and clean for everybody.
Yeah, please.
So like if you have a meteor, mm-hmm. you have a chance at getting what's called a dragon's egg. And if you have a dragon's egg, you have a chance, well, you have 100% chance of hatching a dragon. Mm-hmm. And there's four classifications for those dragons. There's common, there's
rare,
there's ancient, and there's legendary. Exactly. So you could have any of those dragons, but there's 40-something thousand NFTs that exist, right? For legendaries, there's going to be 400-something that exist, mm-hmm. period, forever.
I see.
400 total.
Wow.
So that's why I spent like 10 Gs on a fucking...
There's no more meteor showers coming.
Yes. I spent 10 Gs on a legendary meteor mm-hmm. because I was like, you know what? There's no more of these dragons. This is one of the only NFTs in all of crypto that only has 400 of them with this much popularity. So I'm going to buy this. And I'm going to sell it during the next bull run. That's my plan.
Right? Okay.
And before then, you know, I had the opportunity, because it's all in stages, to turn it, to burn my NFT, right?
Yeah.
So I turned it from a legendary asteroid into a legendary egg. But to do that, I had to pay a transaction fee. It was nothing. It was like fucking 50 cents on Luna, because Luna is so beautiful. It's not like Ethereum. It's not like crazy fees. But I did that, and then I actually mutated my NFT in a way into this egg, which is now worth a different amount. It has different variables and different assets to it. Mm-hmm. And then the next iteration of it, it turns into a baby dragon. And the next iteration to it, it turns into a adult dragon. And then you can actually use it, stake it on the protocol to have access to better DeFi rates, which gives it a unique use case than a lot of NFTs have right now. So that's why I made the bet that I did. But the fact that you can, you know, have an entity, evolve it like this, is what makes, and like uniquely, it's like uniquely yours, is why all this stuff is so early, in my opinion. And the fact that you can use this stuff to access DeFi is why crypto is so different than a lot of people think.
Yeah.
People just think you buy a shit coin and you hold it and you hope that it goes up. But there's so much more going on under the hood. I wish everyone knew.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it feels like they trained our generation to be attracted to this stuff, like through Pokemon cards and like, you know, the way that we play video games and like how all the old video games were. It's like, it's almost like your mind's been trained to like build and be attracted to this kind of stuff. And they made it very like user friendly, I guess. And it's not a bunch of math. It's like a bunch of, it's like dragon eggs and like cool art and stuff.
Yep.
I wonder if it's like how back in the day, you know, model trains and like model planes, because that's what that generation was.
She's saying I got played and then I bought something that will be covered in dust in my garage like within 10 years.
Yeah, maybe you should sell the next bull run for sure.
Cool, I will.
For sure.
Hopefully
it's within the next like 5 years or so.
Great, thank you.
Cool. So thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Make me feel like shit. Thank you.
No, it's really cool for now. For now, okay. Until those crazy Gen Zers come out with their thing. We don't know. We don't even know. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to Shit They Don't Tell You, the podcast with Icebreaker and Crypto King. And check out our Patreon if you would like to go more in depth on crypto. Steve actually does a 2-hour live stream, sometimes longer.
It was 3 last night.
Every week. And goes over everyone's questions, goes over what coins he's interested in or what things in the space he's really into right now. And trust me when I say that this is all he does, like all day. Like I've been unpacking boxes and it took me forever of nagging to get him to help me unpack boxes because we just moved into a new house
because all he
does is crypto.
Thank you so much.
So if there's anyone you want to talk to, it should be him.
I have to say I kind of earned it because like we've had a crazy couple of days.
Yes.
But yeah, no. Look, I'm very,
I'm not knocking you.
I know.
I'm just saying that like, look, this is all the guy does. So listen to him.
I love this shit, guys. Okay. no, really, honestly, the best thing about it, I cannot emphasize this enough. In 2017, when I was in Ethereum, I was very alone. I wasn't with a lot of people, and in a way, and this harkens back to my, you know, middle school basketball days of being bullied and shit, where I felt like I couldn't help my team win and they all wouldn't let me sit with them when we went on away games or home games or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because they all thought that I sucked and then I took somebody else's spot. This guy who they were all pissed that he didn't make the team, but I made the team because I was taller than him. Yeah, but I used to have my mom drive me after every single practice. Even after every practice, I'd have her drive me to a park. And I would just shoot hoops because I wanted to be better for my team.
It's so sad. And still weren't that good.
And I still wasn't that good. But for once in my life, this is very honestly true. It feels good to win with a lot of people because it feels like I get to help my team win for the first time in a long time. And it really does mean the world to me that a lot of people are winning right now. Like we had our first millionaire. I mean, we've had many people hit the hundreds of thousands zone. And everyone has the same refrain. They all are very glad that they got into crypto and they wish that everyone else even just tried it out and just saw. Because even, look, we have a lot of people who have been with us for a long time too. Some of the people in general chat, we'll call them. They're not as into crypto. But I promise you, even just checking this shit out, it's just a different thing than I think even a lot of people are expecting.
Yeah.
So, nothing but love.
Some of them have come over.
No, they have. Yeah. A lot of them have. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, there's some people who are just, I don't touch the cryptos. I don't know. And I just, you know, did you even try it at all? Do you know what you're saying no to? That's always what I ask.
Totally. I guess I can understand it if you're specialized in one thing. And, you know, like, even Warren Buffett doesn't want to try crypto.
And he can stay wrecked.
I can understand, like, hey, I just don't understand it, you know, but people that, you know, I have a problem with people just shitting on it.
Me too.
Without knowing about it in 2018, yes. You know, people.
Or
not,
even 2020 during the dip.
Sure. Yeah. Anytime there's a dip and people being like, see, I told you all stupid, it's all fake and scam. And it's just, that's their, they're going through an identity crisis.
Stay wrecked.
Anyway.
But the rest of the people, oh man, I'm can't wait for you to win. I'm so happy for all of you.
Yay. I'm happy for you too. I don't know shit about crypto, but I don't need to because this guy, I'm basically like Warren Buffett's wife.
You're like Charlie Munger.
Yeah, no, Charlie Munger knows what he's doing. Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett has said that Charlie Munger actually sometimes makes better calls than him.
I know, but Charlie Munger just took a shit on crypto. He's just taking a shit on
him. Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did, actually.
Oh, I was talking, about I'm Warren Buffett's wife if Warren Buffett was crypto, like with stocks. Never mind. Forget it. I'm not Warren Buffett's wife.
She's not Charlie Munger, guys. Either. Never mind, guys.
I wish I was.
Wait, you wish you were Charlie Munger taking a shit on crypto? Hold on a second.
Because I have the enough money and balls to do it.
So just be like, fuck it, I don't care.
Yeah, fuck your thing.
That's so funny. Imagine he pays the biggest crypto person to just serve him Mai Tais on a beach. And why wouldn't he?
Exactly.
It's fantastic. All right. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Okay. Bye. That was so abrupt.